Let's continue reading now verses 11 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 2. Now in these verses, we have the great truth of the one true church, which is composed of all believers. This universal church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the body. This great truth is the main theme of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning now at verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Let's begin this section now with some background notes. The church at Ephesus was composed of both believing Jews and believing Gentiles. Look back at verses 12 and 13 of chapter 1, for example. That we, that is, Jewish believers, who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you, that is, Gentile believers, also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you can see both Jewish and Gentile believers. Now here in chapter 2, we read in verse 11, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. And then move down to verse 18. For through him we both, that is Jewish believers and Gentile believers, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So the great divide between Jews and Gentiles was eliminated in Christ. Notice verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. The middle wall of separation was broken down, and there was now peace between Jews and Gentiles because of Christ. The wall of separation mentioned here is probably an allusion to the wall in the temple area, which separated the outer court of the Gentiles from the more inner courts, which were for Jews only. That wall of separation still stood in Judaism, but it was done away with in Christ. Jewish and Gentile believers were now on an equal footing in the one true church, which formed the body of Christ. This is the main theme of Ephesians, as we've said. And that brings us then to our doctrinal point for this section of Ephesians 2. And the doctrinal point is this. Believers are the body of Christ. Believers are the body of Christ. Now, under this doctrinal point, we have two subpoints. A, the history of the body, verses 11 through 13, and B, the formation of the body, verses 14 through 18. So subpoint A, the history of the body. Notice in verses 11 and 12, we have our past status, and in verse 13, we have our present status. Let's read about our past status in verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. The Jews referred to themselves with pride as the circumcision. And they referred to Gentiles in a derogatory way as the uncircumcision. Look at our BC description in verse 12, that is, before Christ. This is a pretty sad situation, isn't it? Without Christ, separated from God's chosen people, no covenant promises from God, no hope, and without God. I mean, how lost can you be? But now look at our present status in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. What a difference. What a change. We were far off, but now we have been brought near. Illustration. Our family once had a pet dog that we rescued from the SPCA just before she was about to be put to sleep. Your little beagle. We named her Rebecca. Rebecca had been lost and unclaimed, with no hope in this world, and scheduled for death. But we came along and rescued her. She was brought into our home, and not only given life, but love and attention and status. What a change. This poor dog was once far off, but now brought near. I hope this illustration is helpful to think through our past status and our present status. Now, the illustration falls short because it didn't cost our family anything to rescue the poor dog. But in the case of our salvation, it cost the life of our Lord Jesus. We have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 13. How near have we been brought to God? Remember the words of the hymn? So near, so very near to God, I cannot nearer be, for in the person of his Son, I am as near as he. We are now in Christ Jesus, accepted in the Beloved, once far off, but now brought near in Christ. What a blessed position. Subpoint B, the formation of the body, verses 14 through 18. Notice in verse 14, we have the basis of the union, and in verses 15 through 18, we have the results of the union. Let's read about the basis of the union in verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Notice that the basis of the union of Jew and Gentile in one body is not the teachings of Christ, but Christ himself. Only in Christ is there peace and oneness. Only true believers are one. Now in verses 15 through 18, we have the results of this union in Christ. Let's look at four results listed here. Result number one, now there is no hostility. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The law was good. The law was given by God. 1 Timothy 1:8 says that we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. But you see, the law caused a barrier and wall of hostility, wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. But Christ removed this wall of hostility. He satisfied the law's righteous demands, and thus he abolished the law and removed it as a means of approaching God. That's what Romans 10:4 means when it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Illustration. Most of you know that we just returned a few weeks ago from Israel. What a blessing it was to see and learn of Jewish Christians and Arab Christians meeting together and fellowshipping together in Christ. What a miracle. Only in Christ is such peace possible. Result number two. Now there is one new man. Again, verse 15. So as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. The one new man here is the church, the body of Christ. Now the Greek word new that's used here means something new because it's uniquely different. It's something totally different. The church as the body of Christ is new in that sense. It's uniquely different from anything before. In Galatians 6:15, we read, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. There was no church in the Old Testament. The church is not the new Israel. It's a totally new thing. That's why the church as the body of Christ is referred to as a mystery. That is concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. The church began at Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit. The church is one new man, all believers together, forming the body of Christ. And the head of this one new man is Christ in heaven. Result number three, now there is reconciliation, verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. What does reconciliation mean? It means to be brought back into a harmonious relationship. Now notice that the main thought here is that both believing Jews and Gentiles have been reconciled to God. Now in being reconciled to God, they are at peace with one another. No more enmity. Illustration. Two pianos in tune with the same tuning fork will be in tune with each other. That's the way the unity of the Spirit works in the body of Christ. If we are truly reconciled to God, we will be reconciled to one another. We will be at peace with one another. Result number four. Now there is access to the Father. Verses 17 and 18. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Notice, access not just to God, but to our Father. What a difference from the Old Testament. Listen to the words of Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Because of the work of Christ for us on the cross, all believers have access into the very presence of God. Not just the suburbs of heaven, but the sanctuary of heaven. Practical application. Let's turn our walls into tables. Let's turn our walls into tables. The wall of separation that once separated Jews and Gentiles has been replaced with a table of peace in Christ. Now, I think there's an application here for Christians who can't seem to get along together. What walls separate us from other Christians? Are there ethnic or social barriers? Are there barriers because of failure to forgive one another? Are there barriers because of unwillingness to reconcile? These barriers should not be there in Christ. Let's try to break down these walls and turn them into tables for dialogue. That's the way Christians should operate. I mean, folks, it's possible because as believers, we are one in Christ. There shouldn't be any walls. You should be able to talk things out. We should be able to forgive one another. We should be able to come to reconciliation. There shouldn't be any ethnic or social barriers. Let's do whatever it takes to turn our walls into tables.